Wow, what glorious music. Let's pray together. God, what an amazing gift you give us to be able to sing in praise of you, and to be able to pray, to respond to your invitation to come with all that we have and all that we are and to lay it before you. So we come in joy today, and we come in thanks for many things, more than we can name, but including the new life of little Isaac Richard Hoffman. God, thank you that he's here at last and that all went well. And so we pray a benediction over him, that you would bless him and keep him, make your face shine upon him and be gracious to him. Lift your countenance up upon him and give him your peace. Lord, we pray this for others as well. We pray this for each other and for ourselves, that you would bless us and keep us and make your face to shine upon us and grant us your peace. We pray this for people on our prayer notes whose needs are great, for Adam and Ron and Gilbert and Ellsworth, for Alice and Connie and Craig and Ruth and Delbert. Lord, the needs are great, and the list of names is long. Names that we all carry, that we bring with us. Needs and cares and worries that many of us have. And we pray for your grace. We pray for your beautiful light to shine upon us. We pray for this world and for your peace to come in those areas where there is no peace, where there's strain, where there's division or estrangement. Lord, make your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. We pray for your Holy Spirit to move among us in ways that are wholly yours. We pray all of this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is something about music, isn't there? When it's beautifully done as it's being done today. Something about music that stirs us deeply. Maybe moving us to tears. Maybe moving us to want to get on our feet and clap, cheer. Or maybe wanting just to be silent and to absorb, just to dwell with it. There's something that reaches so deeply inside of us with music, especially music that is given in praise to God, sacred music. Some describe the way that music does this as being connected to a hard-to-pinpoint yearning, a longing that we have in us. It's the same kind of thing that we can feel when watching a stunning sunset or when the earth is blanketed with a beautiful layer of snow, where we can't even find words other than wow. My friend Jim Bruckner, who teaches Old Testament at North Park Seminary, our denomination seminary, and who spoke here a number of years ago about the glory of God in creation, I will always remember him saying that when we encounter things that take our breath away, whether it's huge beauty like the Grand Canyon, or tiny, intricate beauty like a snowflake. He said that when we're moved like that, moved by things like that, that's the glory of God catching us. That's the glory of God moving us in ways that we are made to be moved. Glimpses of glory, hints of something deeper than what we can really name. It points to and taps into a longing that we have, a yearning, really a longing, a yearning for God, for more of God. It's being aware of God's grandeur in the way that Gerard Manley Hopkins puts it in one of his best-known poems, which begins and ends like this. The world is charged with the grandeur of God because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and awe, bright wings. God's Spirit, God's glory present among us. J.R.R. Tolkien, who is best known these days for his Lord of the Rings trilogy, he wrote a bit about this, as he puts that the longings that we have point to something that lies beyond the walls of this world. It's a longing. These are longings for a desired filling of joy, for a completeness that's not yet known. They are longings for a joy and a completeness that we can know now only in part. But one day we'll know fully, all through God's grace, through Jesus Christ. That's the stirring that we feel. And that's the direction, these words that the angels gave to the shepherds, to the terrified shepherds on that night outside of Bethlehem. Don't be afraid. I'm bringing good news of great joy that's for everyone. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this is a sign to look for, a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Good news. Good news that carries boatloads of joy for anyone who receives it, more than we know now, but it continues to unfold. But as we know, the world keeps on moving. And sin keeps happening. And there's so many, many people who are looking elsewhere to have those longings met, to find that completeness, that joy, that traction in life. I've been thinking a lot lately about a neighbor that we used to have. He keeps coming to mind. He lived across the street from us with his girlfriend and her kids, and most of the conversations he and I had were out in the driveway or in the yard as we were raking, shoveling, or mowing our lawns. One day he came over to me. He knew I was a pastor, and he was really intrigued by that, but he was also really, really cynical. And one day he came over to me, and he said, "You know, officially I am a Christian. I was baptized Lutheran. I just don't believe any of it." And I said, "Officially? Well, there's a lot more to it than just that." And then he kind of harumphed and went back to his yard. He didn't want to go any further with it. A lot of our conversations went like that, where he'd come over with a question or a statement and then shut it down once I began talking. So I want to tell you briefly about two conversations we had. One day out in our yards, he came over to talk, and out of the blue he said, "You know what I think God needs to do? You talk to him, right? So tell him I've got an idea." I said, "Okay, I'm all ears." And he said, "Here's what God should do if he really wants people like me to believe in him. He should just come down. He should just open the heavens and come down and be with us." And I just blinked. And I said, "Well, remember Christmas? You remember, it's the story of Jesus being born, about God coming down in the flesh, God with us, God one among us. That's what he did." And a light flickered just for a moment, like, "Ah." Oh. And then he said, "No, not like that. Who believes that old story anyway? I mean, like right now, like boom, right over there, if God came down. Tell me you should do that." And then he went back to his yard work. I tried to pick up that conversation again, but he really didn't want to go there. Another conversation we had came when things weren't going very well for him at all. Some hard things had happened, really hard things. And he wasn't sure where he fit or where he was going or what to do. So we were talking on the driveway, and he hinted that he was ready to have a longer conversation than we could have out in the yard. So I said, "How about if we meet for coffee?" And he said, "Yeah, we could do that." So we went a few days later up to a coffee shop. We went out, got coffee, and went out and sat on a curb because he didn't want to have a cup of coffee without a cigarette. And they wouldn't allow smoking in there. So we're sitting on the curb having coffee, and he dumped. He dumped a lot of really hard stuff, more than I was anticipating, even though we had lived across the street
from each other for about 8 or 9 years.
And he talked and talked. I just listened. And then finally he said, "So what do you think I need? What do you think I need to do?" I thought for a while. I said, "I think you need to get to know Jesus. Not the cartoon Jesus or the caricature Jesus that you have in mind, but the Jesus that I know. The one who changed my life." And I told him part of my journey away from faith and then being brought back to faith. And I told him that Jesus doesn't make every problem just go away, and that life doesn't suddenly become really easy. But I said he brings purpose and depth and meaning unlike you can find anywhere else. You need to get to know Jesus, the real Jesus. I said, "I think he's who you're not only looking for, I think he's who you're longing for." And after a really long pause, probably a full cigarette of just sitting there thinking, he said, "I was wondering if you'd bring up the J word, you know, Jesus. I figured you'd probably get around to that." And he said, "Maybe you're right." And then another long pause. And then he said, "But nah, Jesus and me, I can't see it." I wish I could tell you a different ending to that story. I really do. He did say he wanted me to talk to God about him. And I said, "You mean like prayer?" And he said, "Yeah, I mean, you do that, right? You can talk to God. You could do that right now if you want." So I prayed with him there in the parking lot. We came back to that conversation one or two more times, and he said he really appreciated the chance to talk, and he appreciated the fact that I prayed with him. But he clearly didn't want to go into that again. He kept shutting it down. So I kept praying for him. I've been doing it again lately. He keeps coming to mind. There is a longing in us for what only God can bring in Jesus. It's a longing that is sometimes stirred up by music. Sometimes by beauty, sometimes by hard things that go on or a cluster of events that tip everything over. And there's this longing for something more. It's a longing for the very thing the angel described, this good news of great joy that is for everyone. Good news that a Savior has been born to you, to the whole world, yes, but also specifically to you. He's been born to you. One of the early church leaders, St. Augustine, he wrote a prayer that goes like this. "You have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." They are restless until they rest in you. And I think we could rephrase that prayer a little bit like this. Our hearts are restless, O God, until we know for ourselves that good news of great joy that you've brought to us about our Savior. I don't know whether or not you have that restlessness in your heart. Only you and God know. But I know that there are longings there. And I know that there are plenty of things that aren't complete. And there are plenty of things that are not yet right. And I know that you need this good news of great joy as much as I do. Every day. To have this spoken over your life. To have this as the glory-tinged center of who you are and where you're going. So on this morning that is so filled with the glory and the beauty of music, right on the cusp of Christmas, in all the ways that God speaks to us through spoken word and through sung word and through silence and through prayer, invite him to open your eyes a bit more to his glory. Invite him to catch you in the heart in ways that only he can. Ask him to help make room, more room in your life for Jesus, for the Savior. and to meet those deep longings that he has placed within us. This is the good news of great joy. Let's pray. Lord, you know us. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know what we carry, where we've been, what we've done. For areas where we have sinned, we pray for your forgiveness, for your mercy and your grace to come washing over us. For areas that are broken, we pray for healing. For areas where we are filled with doubt, we pray that you would move in ways that are beyond anything we could calculate. Help us to see, to know, to feel, to be caught by your glory, all through Jesus Christ. Amen.